Today's Old Testament reading is from Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Arturca and of Trichonicus, and of Lysinia, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized by him and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? He said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers asked him, and what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. We all know how to prepare for Christmas. All the lovely shopping. And then, men, we know what the other thing is, the honey-do list. Now, I'll plead to all of you, is it fair tomorrow, it's my day off, and I got a honey-do list? Since you got time off, can you accomplish? Day off, accomplish? But there's something I need to do to prepare for Christmas. See, I don't do my job, we can't set up our manger scene. But anyways, all of it's stressful. The shopping, the hustle and bustle, driving, I think I said driving. It's stressful, but we get it all done. Question for today is, how do we prepare for the coming of Christ and his second coming as well? Well, John the Baptist said, be prepared. It said, at a certain time, the word of God came to John in the wilderness, and he had a ministry of preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We, like John, have been called. Particular time, and we have a particular time and place, we have to accomplish something. When we accomplish everything on God's list, that's when he calls us home. But we each have a particular, quote, ministry that we are called to do. And I can't tell you what yours is. You know your talents and gifts. It could just be being there for family, friends, neighbors, or co-workers. John prepared the people for Christ's coming. And he had the message. His message was one of repentance. This was different, a different style, different form of baptism that the people weren't used to. And John must have been such a forceful preacher that they want to come and hear what he had to say. Now, reality, we all deal with a dark side. Having a Star Wars moment here. But we all have that dark side. What I mean by that is, there are parts of our life we're not comfortable with. If people actually knew about them, we would run with fear. But if we ignore them, they come to light at the most inappropriate times. What we have to do is to confront them, acknowledge them, turn from them, and then receive God's forgiveness. Thus prepared by confession, repentance, and forgiveness, we can walk with a newness of life as we wait for our Lord's return. John was called to preach. Most people are not called to preach, but everyone's called to be witnesses to the truth. You know, I poked fun at the lectionary system. That's our Bible, assigned Bible readings for the Sunday. Because sometimes they need to add a few verses in the beginning or the end to give sort of a context of what's going on here. And sometimes I poke fun at they shorten it up. Now, sometimes I look at the lessons and can't figure out the connection between two of them, and today was one of them. I was really beginning to think that it was some sort of a nasty joke by Senate to perplex preachers. Because if you look at the lesson from Philippians and the gospel, they seem to be opposite of one another. And this is what I mean. In the gospel, John says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Now, compare John's words, which are pretty tough, with what Paul writes. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Jesus Christ." Now, does this appear to be a mixed message? You brood of vipers, bear fruit or fry in hell. Paul tells the Philippians, basically summarize it, don't worry, be happy. the Lord is near. Advent is a time of preparing. And whether it's the gospel lesson from Luke or Paul's letter to the Philippians, it's talking about the coming of Christ. It's written that the high places will be brought low, the low places raised up, the rough areas will be smoothed down. In other words, everything that Christ needed to have prepared for him would already have taken place. Like John the Baptist would have come. You want the perfect time for Christ to come? This 100-year period was known as the Peace of Rome, where Rome was more or less at peace for 100 years. This would allow the gospel message to travel. The time was right for him to come. Now, going back to the seeming contradiction between Luke and Philippians, one tells us that the Lord's coming is by straightening up, flying right, and get your acts together, or else. The other seems to say that we might as well just throw a steak on the barbie and don't worry about it. Now, as I said, how do we resolve this contradiction? The gospel is like a two-edged sword. Sometimes it comforts the afflicted, and then other times it afflicts the comfortable. It's a two-edged sword. Another way of looking at this, or apparent contradiction, is Advent season has a double focus. Wow. All right, look back in time. Prepare our hearts to appreciate God anew. He fulfilled his promise by sending a Savior into the world. And he called us to look to the future, the fulfillment of God's promises. He made a lot of promises to us throughout the scriptures. He kept every one of them. And one he made is that he's coming back again. You know, we look at our Savior sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and he earned that place by dying on the cross. And that he will sit on that throne and judge the living and the dead. And we confess that in our creeds. Which, just by the way, is a poke at some non-denominational churches that don't use the creeds. The creeds are pulled straight from Scripture. I can show you chapter and verse where the creeds come from. All it is a series of verses from the Bible tied together. Anyways, back to Advent. So how do you stand in the presence of God? With humility. Now, humility is not humility, the word, has a lot of meanings. Yes, it's kind of got the idea when we talk about somebody being humble. They don't brag about themselves. They'll allow you to go first in line. Things like that. That's one definition of being humble. But to be humble before God has a different meaning. That's to understand what my relationship with him is. If I come before him without Christ standing in front of me, I know exactly who I am and what I am. I'm a terrible sinner, and I better get ready for a hot place. That's being humble before God. Then I throw myself on his mercy and say, because of Christ, forgive me. Again, not because of what I've done, but because of what he has done. Now, just because we have faith, we shouldn't forget about our baptism. Our baptism binds us to us in his life and death. Which means then, how do I put this? The benefit of baptism as we grow older is this. We know that we have been connected to Christ through the act of baptism. We don't have to worry about that connection. We are still one of God's children. Now, is there any need to fear standing before God? Well, no. If you stand with Jesus Christ in front of you, you've got nothing to worry about. Judgment Day is a glorious day. Go skipping up in front of the throne. I'm here, judge away. All right? Of course, I'd be more reverent than that. I'd be scared to death. That's just me. No, I shouldn't even be scared. Not to stand before my Savior. I want him to put his arm around me and say, this is my fat little buddy right here. Hey, he can call me whatever he wants if he lets me in. All right. Because God's grace and God's love covers a multitude of sins. So many Christians worry that God won't accept them and that they can't accept this outpouring of love that Christ shows them because they figure they don't deserve it. Many Christians, like the Philippians, dreaded the second coming. When you hear the second coming, do you usually go, yes, this is a great thing? No, the only time we really talk about, seriously, the only time we really talk about the second coming is at a funeral where we say you'll see your loved one again when Jesus comes again. It's the only time we really talk about, I think, the last day very much. Christ was willing to endure the cross to forgive us of our sins. His first incarnation, when he became man, God and man at the same time, he lived a life that we could not possibly live. But because of what he did, we can stand before that judgment throne and not fear at all. As I said, I jokingly go skipping up there in front of the throne, but we should rejoice at the thought of standing before that throne as people of faith. You know, yes, the gospel does have a double-edged sword at times, but I'm going to stand on the side of the redemption that Christ has won for me. So let's trust in his gift of peace. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.